Hello, welcome to the Why Don't You Say Something podcast, where we are doing exactly that. We are saying something about the online coaching, online course, and spiritual world, because we are all scrolling through Instagram and wondering what the F is going on. I'm Eva Collins. I'm a former online business mindset coach. Yikes. I was in deep, and I slowly started to question some of the things that I was learning and teaching myself. I've now come to see the light, and I'm sharing these learnings with you here. I'm currently a yoga teacher a little bit, an occasional health coach, and I currently do web design. In this podcast, we're going to break down some of the red flags we see, hear people's stories and experiences that are pretty wild, and offer resources on how you can do business in a BS-free way if you are in business yourself. Heads up, as you're listening, I do swear a lot, so be careful of your kiddos' ears. All right, we just hit record. I have Dee here, and I'm so excited to chat with Dee. So thank you so much for coming on. Before we dive into things, I want to tell people a little bit about you and where they can find you on Instagram or TikTok and things like that, because I always love to kind of like lurk someone and dive into things as I'm listening on the podcast. So I'm going to tell everyone a little bit about Miss Dee Nova, who we have here today. She's amazing. We connected long ago, I think in the very beginning of my Instagram. And so we will talk all about that. But Dee runs Nova Consulting. You can find her on Instagram at Dee Construction. It's D-E-E Construction. And she is a consultant and leadership coach, with a mission to empower people and their teams to reach their goals by challenging conventional thinking and crafting customized solutions rooted in diversity, inclusion, equity, and belonging with a people-first mindset. So that's kind of the official stuff about her. I know that you are from Johannesburg, South Africa. Really cool. I want to hear about how you first came to the US. I heard a little bit about that on your podcast, but one of the great things about you is that you have your master's of business administration, MBA, in organizational behavior. I think you did a concentration in leadership and change management. Like what? And I think you did some really cool things around, you were like, I think a global leadership and performance improvement coach at PayPal, like some legit stuff. And lastly, I know you've been super vocal in, I guess I would say like liberation and justice for all, whether it's Palestine, the Congo, or, you know, anywhere you look around the world, or maybe in the office. And that's something that I really appreciate about you. So tell us a little bit more about you, and thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. First, I just want to say thank you so much for creating your platform, because wow, the things that I've learned from following you since your inception, the inception of your page, have been phenomenal. And your comedic take on some of the very like serious stuff, it helps ease the what the hell.
That's good.
Yeah, I think you did a great summary. I was originally born in, I'm originally from South Africa. I moved to the US in my early 20s, and I've been here, I've spent my whole entire life in the United States, basically. And I tell people often that I was raised by an Oprah mom. That's the best way I can describe it. So growing up, Yanda Van Zandt was a thing in our home.
Okay.
Robbins was a thing in our home. My mom gifted me Awakening the Giant Within when I started boarding school at 13. I didn't touch the book until I was in my 20s. I'm pretty sure I paged through it just to give her like a synopsis of what I think I caught. But, you know, but that's the kind of house I grew up in. And my dad was an activist, very much involved in social justice. He was part of the South Africa growing up. So there's that connection to it too, right? So I was raised by an activist who was very vocal and a very academic and progressive mother, to be honest. And that just created this little human that you are now seeing as an adult in front of you, who's had to go through her own journey to evolve, right? So yeah, I came to the US in my early 20s. I was an au pair. I came here for school, and then I met a boy, ended up staying. And yeah, fast forward a couple of years, I'm in grad school And I'm deciding that, you know, I'm going to go work for one of the big four consulting companies because consulting just felt like a good fit for me.
Mm.
Growing up, I wanted to be a lawyer. But at some point, it clicked that law is very like restricted and very limiting. And I'm like, no, mm-hmm. I can't expand here. I don't like this. Also, I like fixing problems and leaving. I like
right.
telling people how to fix their problems and then just exiting. Like, here's your problem. Let's fix it. Are you good? But let me get out. So I was like, consulting is great. So right the year of graduation from grad school, the company I was with at the time, they had an opening for a coaching and development supervisor. Mind you, in my role at while I was there, I had helped set up a call center out in Ohio. Like, I had been very involved with the leadership team and I had visibility. So mm-hmm. when this role came up, I wasn't even thinking of applying for it because in my mind, I'm going to go work at PwC. What are you talking about? But an old supervisor reached out to me. She was like, hey, put your name in the hat for this role. And I was like, fine, I guess I will. And I did, and I got the job and I loved it.
Wow.
And that's how I got in formally into coaching and development, right? So that was like my entry into coaching and development as a profession. And from that point on, I realized a couple of things about corporate culture that just blow my mind because there's just so much research that speaks to how to fix these problems and the fact that companies aren't doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are we doing here? So things like inclusivity, things like rewards and recognition and the positive impact it has on corporate culture and for it to be done from an authentic space versus we have a toxic office, people aren't happy and they're quitting. Let's just give them pizza on Friday. I hate that.
Yeah.
Pizza is not going to fix your toxic
yes.
work culture. Okay. Like, just quit it. So in my role, a lot of what I did was performance improvement. So if a team was underperforming, I'd get sent out to figure out exactly what's wrong, what's causing the underperformance. And it's usually a couple of things. It's either a leadership issue. It's often a leadership issue.
Often.
It's often a leadership issue, a tech issue, a process issue, or, you know, there's just a disconnect as far as how people are engaging.
Mm-hmm.
And that's primarily the work that I did. And that's the space that I've been in. So cut to me now being a consultant on my own and doing coaching on my own. I started to feel around 2018, one, that I was overworked and underpaid, no shade, to the company I was with at the time. And I started to realize how, I guess, like, my rose glasses came off about how mm-hmm. corporate really is. Like, you, it's one thing to see these things and understand them, like, logically and conceptually, but to actually start to experience burnout
mm-hmm.
and experience not even wanting to show up, but showing up anyway and realizing that you're not as productive, you're not as engaged, you're basically crying every day on your way home. That is not healthy.
Mm.
And I needed someone that I could talk to who could be a support system for me. And I did not have that in my manager at that time.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of corporate hurt going into 2020, which is when I parted ways with that company. And then December of 2020 is when I started with PayPal. And that experience was completely different because I had all of COVID time, you know, to kind of work on myself and kind of like coach myself through my own experiences.
Mm.
And when I finally went back into corporate and I had a leader again, because I've been blessed with really good leaders in my life. I'll just say that up front. I think there's only one or two experiences where it's like, I'm learning what never to do from you.
So, mm-hmm.
you know, but yeah, going into PayPal, my manager at PayPal, she and I are still friends right now. And she's still my coach and my mentor. And she was just such a breath of fresh air and helped me to rebuild trust with corporate again. But through this whole process around 2018, I was like, I should probably leave corporate. Like, I don't feel like corporate is a safe space for me.
Mm.
But for tons of reasons, I stayed, right? There was the fear of not having an income. Like, oh my God, if I leave and I start a business by myself, sis, you just got divorced. It's like, ma'am, your coins are not looking the same. You just got
divorced. You had just gotten divorced?
Yeah, in 2017.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I've been divorced for a year. I'm like, madame, your finances are not where you need to be right now. So you got to relax. So I stayed. I stayed until I couldn't. And then COVID happened. It's so funny. My friends and I crack jokes that I manifested COVID. I had been saying for the longest time, I wish life came with a pause button. Like, hit a pause button where everyone goes back inside and just thinks about their life choices.
Resets. Yeah.
And then COVID happened, and I was like, I was happy. I was the happiest under lockdown. I was like, wow, no one expects me to show up anywhere. Everyone just wants to be home anyway. This is the break I was asking for. But also, can we just, people are dying. Maybe let's not do that part. Could this
without the dying part.
Yeah, without the dying part. You know what I mean? Like without the death. It was an amazing, phenomenal. So COVID happens. I get to work on my relationship with myself first and how I wanted to show up. Cause that was the thing that was also missing, right? I for a while up until that point, I had been like, no. Everything has to be perfect for me to show up authentically. And it was like, no, babes, you have to show up authentically. And once you show up authentically, you get to then, from a place of honesty with yourself, decide if you want to stay where you are. Because I hadn't done that work, I stayed in a space where I wasn't protected, I wasn't appreciated, I was underpaid, I was overworked, and I was just ill-treated, you know, a solid year and some change. Now, round two, after COVID, going back into corporate, I'm now coming in with this version of myself that is like, oh, wait. When I was looking for a job around August of 2020, because I spent the first couple of months just getting myself together, right, after lockdown. And when I started looking for a job again, I was like, okay, universe, let's do this. Let's make a deal. I'm going to apply for roles that are in alignment with what I want, which is I want to stay in the coaching and development space because I love what I do. Like, I love getting light bulb moments off in people's heads. I love seeing the dots connect, you know, for people and them actually implementing what we're learning. That brings me joy innately. I'm like, so that's what I want to do. So I'm going to apply for jobs either that meet that criteria, or I'm going to get jobs with companies that I absolutely want to work for. So I'm on LinkedIn one day and I come across a role, an opening at PayPal for, I think it was a team lead role. I was like, ah, I could do this with my eyes closed, but it's PayPal. So it's a door, it's a way in the door. I was like, okay, cool. Sent my application, kept it moving, forgot about it. I hear back from the recruiters. I start the interview process with PayPal for the team lead role, right? And around three rounds of interviews in, the recruiter calls me back. She's like, hey, so we actually think we have a job that's better suited for your skills if you're interested, and that manager would like to meet with you. And that ended up being my leadership coaching role at PayPal.
So that's, I got so cool.
Totally unexpected. And it was a great experience. Wouldn't change it for the world. Unfortunately, my team and I got hit by the layoffs last year, the tech layoffs in February, but you know, and at that point, then I decided to just fully lean into entrepreneurship because I had been treating my business like a hobby, honestly, versus just fully embracing the fact that I have a business that I have to run like a business. That's been the work that I've been doing since last year.
Wow. That is so fun to hear about, like, your experience, your training, and how you've come to get where you are today. And I actually know, I literally know nothing about corporate coaching. I want to say I know nothing about corporate culture. And it's not entirely true. It's not entirely true.
Yeah.
But it's just like a whole new field to me. And I think it's something especially cool because I want to say it's a great place, or the kind of work you're doing is a great place for real coaching and real mentorship. Do you know what I'm saying? When people kind of think of coaches in my page, they think of people who are like Instagram DMing people in the creepiest freaking fashion and have no training whatsoever, unfortunately. So I think like what you're doing, what you're talking about, and your experience is a great role model of like what I'm going to say is real coaching can be a real fantastic thing to do and a modality, you know?
Absolutely. Corporations would not invest as much as they do in a understanding human behavior if coaching to human behavior was not important for
production,
right? It impacts your bottom line as a business. If you have leaders, which is unfortunately the reality. See what I was saying earlier on about the gap between the research and its implementation. So we know from a research standpoint that when you have a team that's engaged, is supported, has a leadership team that is supportive and makes sure that they have the tools they need to do their work, it just creates a great environment to work in. People show up to work because they want to. They show up for your company and get results because it's just built into your corporate culture. Team high performing teams don't just magically happen.
Right.
Right. And there's a big difference between a high performing team that is performing under stress and duress because people are afraid to lose their jobs, and a high performing team that is just literally people that love what they do and
Yeah.
work feels fun for them. Work feels, it feels light. So I'm on a mission to help more companies create that version of work. Because another thing that I'm not a huge fan of, especially on the online space and social media spaces, every second post you see is someone saying, quit your 9 to 5. You don't have to. There is nothing wrong with working a 9 to 5. There's absolutely nothing wrong. And sometimes for some personalities, if you are risk averse, a 9 to 5 is a great place for you to be.
Absolutely.
Right? It is just an amazing spot for you to be. Now, how do we get the companies that people work for to take care of their people? Because that is sometimes lost in the sauce. The unfortunate thinking of a lot of executives is nothing matters but the bottom line. But what they are missing is a key factor that if you take care of your people, that automatically takes care of your numbers and automatically your bottom line gets better.
Right. And like you talk about having a people first
Yes.
viewpoint. I mean, how I don't understand how people miss that, but it absolutely is so true. So
Too often. And the nice, and the what I'm grateful for with my exposure to coaching and how I got into coaching from a corporate standpoint is results are a given. There is never a time where I will ever coach and be like, well, we'll just see how it goes. No, we have to be working towards something, right? The most basic fundamental model for coaching is the grow model. So you have to have a goal, right? If you're not working towards a goal, it's no longer a coaching conversation. It is just a conversation. If you and your coach sit down for any kind of conversation, and that discussion does not include either them checking up on how you're doing with your goals or setting goals with you, that's a mentor. That's no longer your coach. That is your mentor. And I think it's important for people to understand the difference. You may not necessarily be a coach, but you may be a good mentor, and that's fine. Let's just use the right terminology. So if you meet with a coach and you're not discussing a goal, you're not discussing where you currently are, which is your reality, you're not discussing your opportunities or your options on how to get to where you want to go and your way forward, that is not a coaching conversation. That's just a great catch-up session with your mentor, and that's great. That's great, but let's not call it coaching.
I mean, we could really geek out, and I would love to around, you know, what coaching really is. And I think a lot of people who call themselves coaches are very confused. They may not have any training whatsoever, and it's kind of become a catch-all term of someone who's like maybe mildly helpful, who might chat with you on Zoom once in a while. And that's not okay. That's not good. And a lot of people kind of confuse coaching with therapy as well. It's a whole thing to get into. But coaching is a real absolute tool, modality, profession, thing. And to talk about many things, but to rewind with what you were saying, how you don't have to leave your job to you don't hey, you don't have to leave your job, especially around like coaching. If someone wants to do coaching, I'm like, you could actually probably implement that in the role that you're in. So what I'm saying is, you know, I worked in healthcare, I was a social services assistant, and I was like, oh my God, I've never done so much coaching in my life. Before, when I was an Instagram coach, I was not doing nearly as much coaching as I was then using the tool of coaching in healthcare. So I just think it's a cool thing that people can actually learn more about coaching and use it in a real professional way, if I'm making any sense. But one of the things you talked about is like that goal and supporting people in a set like goal and moving forward is such a huge part of coaching.
It is. And I think for if you are an aspiring coach, it's going to be important that you ask yourself why you want to be a coach. I think with COVID and the layoffs and just the job market, a lot of people lose their job and like, you know what? I'm going to be a coach. I went to sound healing once. Sound healing is amazing. So I'm going to be a sound healing person. And I'm going to wear my wide brimmed hat and do my Palo Santo, and coaching is the life of me. I love that. But understand that bad coaching does more harm to someone than no coaching at all. So please be intentional about stepping into wellness spaces and understand that you are dealing with people's well-being. And if you truly honor the sacredness of humaning, you will not go into that space recklessly. You will not go into that space, you know, just thinking of nothing but the fact that you want to work a 10-hour day or a 10-hour week and make seven figures in 6 weeks. That's not going to be the intention behind it. I mean, I love that for the people that do it. If you're doing it from a good space and you're aligned, that's amazing. Love that for you. Keep going. But understand that you are dealing with people's well-being, and that should not be taken lightly. If you decide to be a coach, ask yourself, what is the goal you want to help people achieve? Because then that will help you define what kind of coach you are. Right? If you, it's not that you have to niche down and be just a one specific thing. We are multifaceted human beings. That's great. But ask yourself, who do you want to serve and why? And are you in a good space to serve those people as you are today? Do you have the right tools to serve those people as you are?
And yes.
And if you're a coach and this is the first time you've ever heard of the GROW model, what are we doing? Help me understand what we're doing, and then we'll go from there. Because I leave with curiosity. I'm not going to judge you. Honestly, I'm not going to judge. I'm just going to ask you questions.
How did we get here?
Yeah, like, what walk me through how you went from I want to coach to getting people and having them pay you money to coach them when you don't understand the basic fundamental model for coaching.
I mean, this is the big question. One of the biggest problems and ways that people have been harmed by coaching, I have found, is that they are literally not trained in any way, shape, or form, and they're calling themselves a coach. So I'm completely confused by that. I don't understand that. I truly am like, how did that happen? And I also have, like, you know, love and understanding for those people, because they may have bought into big programs or big mentors who told them, like, that's BS, you don't need that, you're ready now, and all that kind of stuff. I mean, unfortunately, people can feel like they want to help someone and go way beyond their scope and get way out of hand. Exactly. So I just think that training is so important. So just giving a further shout out to that and to what you said.
And honestly, to also, with in the spirit of decolonizing how we view things like education and training and stuff, you don't necessarily have to go to Cambridge and get an ICF accredited course for $100,000. You don't have to do that. You can take a Udemy course if you truly are passionate about it, right? Because if you're just passionate about helping people and that is your intention going into this, and you generally want to create value, at least get the basics right. And then find yourself a community of other coaches where you guys can peer mentor each other as you grow. There are very different ways for us to learn as people. School hasn't always been a thing since the beginning of time, right? But human beings have been learning since the beginning of time. So let's get creative and understand that not everyone is in a financial situation to pay the $500, $1,000 ICF accreditation. Is it top notch? That is how it's marketed, 100%. Would I recommend it? Absolutely. But if you cannot do that, but you genuinely have a passion for helping people get unstuck in certain areas of their lives, there are so many ways to skin this cat that there is no excuse why anyone that calls himself a coach does not have a basic understanding of what coaching is.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just amen to that. And I even think of, you know, what I'm hearing from you too, is it's more of an openness, a mindset, a willingness to learn, and a willingness to have the spirit of, like, I want to train, I want to learn more, I want to build my tools, I want to be a person who's not, like, causing harm or just making stuff up, right? That, like, humbleness and openness to say, what can I learn? How can I change? How can I do better? And it's like, yeah, go to a good training, but, you know, I've trained in yoga teacher trainings, like, I've done like five, and there's ones that are good, there's ones that are bad. It's the people who actually, like, continue their education or put their time and energy and effort into continuing to learn. You know, it's not just check off the box that you did some training. It's like the spirit of being open to it. You know what I mean?
100%. And there's also the aspect of, as you evolve, what you need evolves with you. Right. So if you stop learning you are cutting off that stream of information that needs to come through you so you can add it to your repertoire and add it to your toolkit. I have an MBA. Okay. I started my business formally and officially last year. Well, actually officially, I've had it filed since 2020, but I've officially went into like full-time entrepreneurship last year. Do you know how many podcasts I take in about starting a business in this period? I didn't just walk in and be like, I have an MBA, got this figured out. I'll just swing it till I fit. No, there are people that have lived this entrepreneurship life way longer than I have. So why not leverage their experiences and their lessons and then see what works, what fits, and implement it? Honestly, I wish more people would treat their lives like a science experiment. Because the moment that you say, I know it all, that is the moment you know nothing at all.
There we go, everybody.
at that point, you know nothing. Because there is like, of all that is, we know not even a fraction. And there's so much more that you don't even know you don't know.
Absolutely.
Like, what I know, there's what I know I don't know. And then there's like a vast space of what I don't even know I don't know. There are things I'm learning as I'm building my business this time around where I do this dance between strategy and following my intuition because that feels good to me, right? But that works for me.
Like in your business?
Yeah, in my business. That works for me. Like I'm allowing myself to bloom, right? I'm not going to peel apart the peels. I'm like, okay, fine. But that works for me. So as a coach, if you came to me like, Dee, I'm starting a business. I want to be up and running in a year. I'm not going to impose that on you. I'm not going to be, well, this is how you do it. No, I'm going to ask you what works for you and your brain, your life, your space, your finances, your ambitions. What works for you? Okay, let's build a plan around that. Right. So, that's another thing that people should look for in their coaching sessions. If you're walking into a coaching session and your coach is doing 70% or even 80% of the talking without actually asking you any questions, again, that is more of a mentor than a coach because that coaching session is them just parting, like sharing their information and not necessarily helping you tap into your inner wisdom to build out a plan that works for you. Now, will it work short term? Absolutely. Short-term gains are possible for a whole bunch of reasons we can get into, right? But long-term, if you don't address your behaviors, your thinking, your processes, and build those into the coaching plan that you're creating with your mentor, your leader, your boss, this applies to work too, guys. If you're at work and your boss is like, hey, you're not performing, and they don't ask you what's wrong, and they just tell you what to do, it's not sustainable. I know this firsthand. You will get it right maybe for a week and you'll go back to your old behaviors. And this is why coaching is so important because it helps keep that learning loop going, right? So if you go into a coaching session and a person's just talking at you and not involving you in the coaching process, that is no longer a coaching session that is designed to help you get to where you want to go and help you get better at whatever it is you're doing.
Yeah. So what are some of the other things, if someone was looking to work with a coach or wondering if someone was kind of a quote, good coach, what are some of the other things you would mention? So you talked about, in general, having some kind of training or understanding is probably a good place. You also mentioned them not doing all of the talking. If they're talking 70% of the time, whoa, 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 whoa. What else comes to mind just off the cuff, you know, chatting about it around the elements of a good coach?
I have some questions people should definitely ask when they're shopping around for a coach. Number one, don't sign on with the first coach you meet. Always get a second or third opinion. Right? Like talk to other coaches, shop around. Treat coaching like dating, because coaching is a very intimate relationship. You're going to be bearing your soul to this person and trusting them to be able to hold and guide you at your most vulnerable times. So treat coaching like dating. Do not go off Instagram popularity. I know a lot of people just assume, oh, they have a big follower count. They must be good at what they do. Maybe. We don't know. I don't know. So ask questions. One of the questions I will answer it if people don't ask it immediately is, what kind of Give me your favorite or your most, what's the word I'm looking for? Successful clients. Give me three success stories. What don't even have to give me names, but what did you help these people solve or achieve? And see what they say. And then ask yourself, do I resemble any of these people? Is what I need reflective of what problem or situation these people solve or had solved, right? That's one. The other one is give me two, three incidences where you feel like as a coach, you did not do well, or you failed as a coach, or a coaching relationship didn't work, and why? I think it's important when we are doing work that is intimate to make sure that people are capable of being vulnerable. That question for me allows me to gauge how vulnerable you are as a coach. Because if you're going to be like, I have 100% success rate, that's a lie. I will tell you right now, that is a 100% bold-faced lie. No one has 100% success rate as a coach ever. And if your idea of having 100% success rate is the fact that you've been working with Tina for the past 6 years on the same problem, that is not a sign of success rate. That's not a sign of success because you guys have been spinning the wheel for 6 years on the
Tina's
same.
in trouble.
Where Tina, girl.
Tina, we gotta help you escape.
Leave. And that's another thing too. So like, and we'll and that's a, we'll kind of like tap like dive into that a little bit later. Like, when do you decide, okay, this is not working? If you have been working with someone on the same issue for more than 3 months without making even not like even like a little smidge of progress, there is a disconnect there. You are either not working on the right problem, meaning that your root cause process did not actually address the cause of the behavior that we're seeing. Because how human being works, it's like, think of it as a triangle, right? You have the behavior that drives actions, and then those actions give you the results. So if I'm only addressing the actions and not the behavior, the results aren't going to shift. If anything, the results may just get worse. If I'm harping on the results and not addressing the actions or the behavior that actually tie into these results, I'm frustrating people. And anyone that works in corporate, anyone that is a people leader, anyone that's led by any leader that does any of these things, you already know what it feels like. So I practice what is known as qualitative behavioral-based coaching. You address the behavior that informs and drives the actions, and the numbers take care of themselves. The results take care of themselves. I feel like
Qualitative behavioral, say that again.
qualitative behavior-based coaching.
Qualitative behavior-based coaching. So what is that again?
So it you address the behaviors that drive people's actions. So it's really just addressing the behaviors that drive our be that drive our actions, and just our experiences or results. Yeah, so from like a work standpoint, it's numbers, right? Because we use a lot of data in corporate, but from just a life perspective, it's your life is a reflection of all the decisions you've made. Some that, and some of the things that you just had no control over that just happened around you, right? But at some point, there is a behavior that drives how you, there's a belief, sorry, there's a belief system that drives your behaviors and your
Right, like
actions.
that root cause that's also creating that behavior and then those outcomes and so on and so forth. Gotcha.
Ooh. So if you're not addressed the root cause of the behavior, you're gonna be spinning your wheels. So if you walk into a situation where you aren't diving deep enough into what needs to be fixed, you'll keep spinning and spinning and spinning.
So like if Tina has been working with someone for 6 months on the same thing and been getting nowhere, that's not good. Nothing's changing, it's not landing, so on and so forth. And you were saying that's something to look at as far as if coaching is not working.
Right. And or when you're asking those questions with like a potential coach, remember, treat your search for a coach like a dating process. Like you are asking questions. So success, give me success stories. Give me stories where you have failed. If they say none, run. Because those are the same people that will have Tina in a loop for 6 years and be like,
Yeah.
oh, they're doing
Oh, I just said 6 months. We're talking 6 years exactly. Tina needs to get out of the cult.
Like, no, Tina, this is not working for you because you're not getting better, right? And I'm not saying you should expect to see a completely different version of you in 3 months. No, the 30, 60, 90 model does not work that way, right? It's a gradual process. Another thing too is sometimes you want to treat human behavior like it's an on and off switch. It really is. It's like you don't wake up one day and suddenly you're a person that loves going to the gym every single day and there's no question mind you should show up to the gym. No, you wake up one day and some days you're on a 10 and it's like, let's go, it's go time. There are going to be days where you wake up and maybe at a minus two and you're like, oh my God, I can't even get out of bed, right? My job as your coach is to help you identify what triggers those days and what can we do for you to recognize the trigger and either get in front of it or overcome it. So having those types of conversations with your coach, it's important. It's important. If you're not addressing how you think and how you show up and how it impacts your life, again, that is more of a mentorship situation, a training situation maybe, but it's definitely not coaching. Another thing is accountability. We talked about the GROW model earlier on. If your coach is not circling back to the goals that you've established in every conversation you have, how are they holding you accountable and keeping you on track? Right. So when you are shopping for a coach, ask those questions. You know, how do you and your clients track success? And how do I know that the work that we're doing is working? Are they like transparent about the notes that they keep on your coaching conversations? It's important to remind people of what you spoke about to prepare them for your next coaching session. If we meet today and I know I have a follow-up call with you next week, bare minimum, I should be able to just send you a note of what we discussed today in our conversation and be like, hey, these are the key high points that we discussed. Next week, let's circle back on this. If there was anything that was like, you know, undefined, couldn't drill down on, or I want to hear if you said you want to lose 5 pounds in a month and we agreed that in your life, realistically, you can go to the gym 3 times a week. All right. I want to hear about how you went to the gym 3 times a week next week. And if you didn't, why not?
Yeah. And what did we learn there? What happened? Right. That's right. The gold part. Yeah,
exactly. So treating failure more as like data to process versus just go to the gym. Oh, that's bad, babe. I'm so sorry. No. If my job is to help you get to the goal of losing 5 pounds, I need to understand why you didn't go to the gym and then come up with, again, trigger and an anchor to say, hey, when I'm feeling this way, if I don't go to sleep by 10 o'clock at night, I don't wake up in enough time to go to the gym and get my life together. Okay, so what are we going to do next week to make sure we don't find ourselves here? Setting up to start getting ready for bed at 9. Great, let's try it. Let's go. And you should see some sort of movement. Basically, trying to understand what their coaching process is like is going to be very important. Not everyone's going to run their business the same way. So find a coach who runs their business that in a way that works for you. Intimate relationship. Interview people. So if someone doesn't have a cancellation policy and that doesn't work for your life, don't sign up with them. And if you find yourself having a conversation with a coach and they are almost coercing you to like, oh, invest in yourself. Yeah, it's not this line of credit for $10,000 when you don't have a job. They do not care about you. That person does not care about you. To them, it's about closing the sale. And hey, if it works for you, good. I wish you guys both well. But if it feels yucky in your body at any point, pause or exit.
And if they don't let you pause, run the F away.
100%. 100%.
Literally. Why would you not, you know, someone who's a coach and they will not let you take time to say, how do I think? What do I need? How do I feel? What's next for me? That's the entire point of coaching. And so when people do this like pressuring sales and hammering down on people and like right now and start saying all this crap, I'm like, they're literally teaching you that they're a horrible coach, in my opinion.
Either they're a horrible coach or they are people that had the best intentions, but had not so great teachers. Because also think about it, like the nature of sales as we have learned it up until recently is always like, you got to close on the first call. And it's like, no, it's a relationship. You want to be relational. You build a relationship with people, you build a relationship of trust and allow them to then invest in you.
You know what I mean? Dating. Like you said, or are you like tonight, right now, you better marry me. Like, oh God, no. I mean, gross, run, desperate, creepy.
No, but also, if you're the person to say yes, I have questions.
Exactly.
Questions.
Exactly.
Like, I'm here again.
Okay.
What made you how we got here? You
know,
everyone has their thing. I just think we need to find the right people for us and invest in those relationships. And if someone is offering their time and their expertise and their support as a service, they deserve to get paid, right? It's a job. And if you are finding value out of that, then continue. But if you're not finding value, don't continue. And how do you know that you're getting value or not? You need to be very clear about what it is you want to get out of your coaching before you sign on with a coach. Mike, ooh, how do I forget this one? A very obvious one. If your coach does not have a coach, leave. I have two coaches. All these coaching hours I've collected in my career, today, Dee has two coaches. Serve two very different purposes in my life. And I'm grateful to both of them because they're both phenomenal human beings. Just like a therapist needs a therapist, coaches need coaches. Because how do you know how do you know how well you're doing, number one, as a coach? You know, some people are very good at like introspection and being self-aware, but not everybody gets it right. And we all have blind spots. So as a coach, you may not necessarily need to have a coach that you meet with every week even, but just have someone that you can sit with that is not tied to your business in any kind of way and be like, hey, this is where I'm at. This is where I'm trying to go. Is there anything I need to be aware of? Like, what are you seeing that I'm not seeing from these experiences I'm having with my clients?
You said something so good of have a coach that's not tied to your business. So one of the biggest kind of creepy pyramid scheme things that we see is business coaches telling people that they have to have a coach and they have to have a coach and they have to have a coach because it's like a creepy pyramid scheme of if you're not paying me, then your business isn't going to grow. But we're talking about how like a therapist needs a therapist to be able to, you know, check in with themselves, go through the process themselves, be supported, saying, how am I doing with my people and my clients? Like, and so that kind of support and being able to, yeah, have support and growth and check-ins is important, but not from a, you better do this or your business won't grow and you won't get clients.
No, absolutely not. And also too, coaches are not immune to humaning, dudes. You know, so as great as I am at being a cheerleader and being someone that can help you strategize, there are definitely moments where I go through stuff and I'm like, whoa, can't deal. And at that point, that's where my coach comes in and is helpful to me, which then it allows me to still maintain integrity with my clients because we are human. And if you're not aware when and where you are projecting into a situation, even as a coach, it gets yucky. And that is why you should always have a coach that's not in any way tied to your business.
Because they're actually going to tell you the truth or something that's not related to your financial gain and their financial gain.
Exactly. Because if my ability to make money is tied to you making money and my finances aren't looking that great, I may not do it with malice. I may be acting out of desperation, but there will be things that I either overlook or encourage that I shouldn't in your behavior just so you can get that money so I can get my cut. So just create the type of separation in your business, but still get help and support. It doesn't have to be from the person that trained you. It really doesn't.
So we talked about a few of the elements of around kind of what might make a good coach. We talked about good questions to ask a coach. We talked about looking at when coaching is kind of not working. So let me rewind to say a lot of times people will reach out and they see the harms in the scammy coaching. They see the harms of douchey, creepy, just the Wild West coaching, but they really do love coaching and they really do want to help people. So we're talking from a general standpoint, like, I don't know what these people have done or not done. I don't know their training or not, but kind of what would you say, what would be your perspective to someone who does want to continue in coaching and wants to do it in a good way? Like, what are some of the things that come to your mind?
Community is going to be important. So have they already completed their coaching training or have they not completed any kind of coaching training?
I feel like it's a half and half of the people who reach out. Or okay. sometimes they did a training, but they don't know if it was good or if they were they learned bad things.
Talk to other coaches that you trust or believe are good coaches. And honestly, I will even open up my inbox. If you guys want to shoot me a note and be like, hey, I'm going through this, I'll respond. Just give me like 2 days maybe to get through my inbox, please. You know, but I think having a community of coaches that coach in integrity is important. Mm-hmm. You know, if you haven't gone through the training, sign up for a basic Udemy course, follow coaches that are in integrity. And I think opportunities like this where you have podcasts. Guys, I am obsessed with podcasts.
Yay. She has a great podcast, by the way. What's the name of your podcast?
Deconstruction. It's the same name as my IG handle. But yeah, so like I'm obsessed with podcasts. And not only because I have one, by the way. not because I have one, but just the amount of information that people share on podcasts is invaluable. As D today, I don't see myself sitting in the same room with Tony Robbins to ask him some like, you know, serious questions. But if I catch a podcast episode of his, I get to have that information without actually having to ask him. So think about podcasts that way, right? You are learning from experts on whatever it is you're learning about. So podcast, important. Community is also important. And if you want to be a coach, or really any profession that is tied to wellness and well-being, please ask yourself if you would still do that work if money was not.
So good. So you just said, if you want to be a coach, if you want to, you know, there's also a lot of healers that I connect with. If you are like, oh, I do want to coach, you're saying, ask yourself, would you do this if money was not connected to it?
Yes. If you had to do this for free, mm-hmm. would you still do it?
I mean, for those who can't see my face, I'm like, literally, like, seriously. And to what you said before, ask yourself, like, really, like, why are you doing this?
Exactly.
I feel like so much people think it will give them kind of this Instagram esteem or just money or the location freedom. And I'm like, you don't even like listening to people. You don't even like talking to people. They're so quick to, you know, just make some group program where they have no interaction and never even talk to someone. I'm like, do you even like coaching?
It's true though. It is very true. I feel that way about people in the healing space. I see that with a lot of managers. Like, honestly, there's a lot of corporate where I'm just like, you are a project. You are anything but people manager. You should not be in charge of people because you don't even like people. Right. Mm. So having that self-awareness is critical before you step into a space where you're responsible for anyone's wellness. Please ask yourself these questions. Why am I doing this? Is the reason tied to anything material and totally disconnected from the people that I'm like in service of? If money was not a thing, would I still want to do this? Does this give me joy? Because I can tell you as someone that grew up and is still to a certain, not, well, I've had to create some boundaries around this because this is my job now. I have always been the group chat therapist. That's been my life. Oprah mom product. You know what I mean? I've always been that, well, let's talk about it. Let's unpack this. You know, so for me, coaching came naturally, but even then I didn't take it for granted. I still went and got the additional training, right? Because I love what I do so much that I want to make sure that when I'm showing up in the space, I'm showing up in integrity and I'm showing up with as much knowledge I can squeeze into my head to serve the people I want to serve in a way that brings them value and creates value for them. Right. That is so important. Yes. Money will happen. So back to our little behavior triangle, right? Like, what is your intention? What's driving you? What's your root cause? Because your root cause is going to determine how you show up. And you may strike it lucky and be out of integrity and find some success. Is it sustainable? The answer is no. And honestly, you're doing more harm than good.
So when you say, is it sustainable? What do you mean by that? Tell me a little more.
I don't care how successful you are. If you are acting out of integrity, people are going to know at some point. And that's going to be a legacy. And I'm not saying people need to be perfect. I'm not saying you need to be perfect or even strive for perfection. But if you're authentic, if you know that what you're doing comes from a good place, you can actually defend. And you don't. And you won't even have to defend it. People will defend your bad behavior sometimes. Right? Because just your default someone that acts in integrity. And the moments that you do act out of integrity, people are also more apt to give you more grace. But if you go into a space, let's use the coaching industry right now. If you entered into coaching and your primary goal was just to make money, people are going to know.
Right.
They may not know on day one, maybe not even year two, but at some point.
Totally.
It's going to come out and you're going to end up on, why don't you say something?
They're going to end up where? Oh, wait, that's me.
Eva's going to make a little skit about you with her brimmed hat. Like, now we're all laughing at you. You know what I mean? Like, what are we doing?
Yeah. And to what you're saying around, if it's not sustainable, a lot of people are taught tactics or business things that they're not sustainable. It's like a quick money grab now. It's a quick launch now. It's not something that's like long-term in integrity that really feels good for everyone. It's these quick money grabs is what I'm thinking of.
I honestly think that's just a global mindset culture thing that we're all stepping out of, right? Like we have become microwave results people.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't see results right now, it's not working. It's like, well, no, again, I'm going to use corporate culture as an example for this one. A lot of corporate leaders will hire someone like me and expect me to fix their toxic corporate culture that has been toxic for 10 years in 2 weeks.
Mm.
I'm like, do I come in with a wand? Can we go abracadabra? Like, no. Like, why do we have this expectation? This is weird. You know, you've been this way for 10 years. 10 years plus. I just got here. Give me some time. Right? And then we know that it takes about 5 years to go from a toxic culture to a healthy one.
Wow.
5 years. Because think about it. In a corporation, you're not just dealing with one person. You're dealing with a whole bunch of people at different levels. So to kind of like get everybody to even out in like an almost like same space, it takes time to get there. And even with one-on-one coaching, you've had bad behavior for as long as you've had it. You've had the habits that you're trying to break. You've had them for longer than you've had this new idea of who you want to be today. It's going to take you time. So give yourself grace as a business owner too. I also see us just moving away from that microwave culture as well, right? Where we're like, we're friends. We shouldn't set the world on fire for like 2 seconds of progress. Like, this makes no sense.
Mm.
What is a long-term plan that's sustainable that we can keep going? Yes, it's okay to move slow and be successful, then sprint and run headfirst into a wall.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All in the name of success. It doesn't make sense. And I'm so grateful that I'm seeing more and more people echo this in one way or another online. And I'm like, oh, it's catching on. People are really just saying, hey, guys, let's all just take a beat and start moving a little bit slower, but knowing that we're getting to where we need to go versus just running in any direction because we want results.
Because running, yeah.
It's like, okay, I love that you have this stamina, but... Are we even running in the right direction? That's what I want. I see you run. Is it in the right direction? Maybe sit down and plan, or were you just reactive?
Mm-hmm.
And that unfortunately is what we find a lot of, at least what I perceive with a lot of online coaches, is that someone either got fired or they were disgruntled at work or they didn't like their job or they had a life change and the immediate reaction was, okay, I need money fast. This seems to be a good space.
Yeah.
I saw somebody go from 500 followers to 1 million followers in 6 weeks, and she's posting pictures at a penthouse. I want to be that person. I want to emulate that person. Do you really, though? And if that's your reason for coaching, it was never about the people that you're supposed to be helping.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been about you.
And like Instagram fame. Hands down, like behind the scenes with like the drama that I've seen and the horror stories. And then the actual great coaches or people who I might like love and trust or people who I'd recommend. Unfortunately, the people who have like the biggest following, and this is not everyone, but people who have a bigger following tend to be more terrible. And the people who I might really love and trust and want to sign up for coaching with or who I'd recommend, like don't have a huge following at all. Why? Because behind the scenes they're actually working with people. Why? Because they actually are like day-to-day coaching, not full-time Instagramming.
So actually, thank you so much for bringing this up, because I posted this morning, I think, on Threads. This morning I was this was triggered by an exchange I had yesterday with someone on Threads, and he said, you know, he had supported this person through their rebrand or whatever, and they didn't even give them any credit or mention that they were a part of it, like just some sort of reciprocity, right? And it got me thinking, how do we define people that are followers compared to people that are community members? And that terminology and how we use it in our minds, how does that impact how we show up? Because I can tell you, after sitting with myself with that question yesterday and this morning in meditation, I landed on, I don't show up as much as I need to on Instagram, because I feel like Instagram is very much a let's get popular. And I'm not interested.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, peacocking is not my thing, and it's fine. You know what I mean? But I had to change that, because now I have my own business. Whereas before, problems used to find me, because I worked internally to bring me the problems to solve. Now I had to tell people, like, hey, I solve problems. Da, 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 da.
Mm-hmm.
But on the flip side, so for me, followers are more like just a number.
Totally.
It's just a number versus having a community where, no, if you're in community, there's care, there is nurturing, there is some level and expectation of reciprocity involved. So I'm wondering if people started to, not really should, you can do whatever you want, but what would the world look like if we cared more about creating community versus just amassing a large number of followers?
Absolutely.
Right. Because sure, as the work that you do grows and more people know about you, yes, people will join your page or whatever. But if your intention is to just get to 10,000 this month, what are you doing and how are you giving in a truly meaningful way on your way to 10,000?
Mm-hmm.
That's something you need to think about.
And I think, so this is such a good point. I think one of the things that I love to like talk about or teach about is that in the online space, it can get really confusing with like, what is your goal? Is it to be a coach and work with people one-on-one or in many different ways? Is it to be an influencer? Is it to be an online marketer? Is it to be like a course creator? Is it to be a YouTuber? Like sometimes people mix and mash and all of those different things. And it's like, but what is your real goal and what are you doing? Because the same things to maybe have a thriving coaching practice is not the same as being a mass internet marketer
or influencer. Like,
or influencer.
No.
And it gets confusing.
And free tip for your audience, if you guys aren't already familiar, if you don't know what or who you are or how you want to show up, a couple of things I would recommend. There's a book, Ikigai, and I forget who the author is, but it's a Japanese concept of Ikigai, which is, it's what you love, what people would pay you for, what society needs in that moment. Sweet spot where all these three things intersect, that can be a good starting place to figure out how to show up and if you want to show up, right? But babe, not everyone has to be a coach. That's fine. I think this is oversaturated already. You don't have to be a coach to be helpful. There are so many things that are more aligned with who you are and what your passion is and your purpose is that will help you. So Ikigai is a good one. So once you've defined where you can be of value, that can be your business. And now the money comes in, not because you chase after wide-brimmed hat lady on Instagram's lifestyle. Mm-hmm. It comes in because you are playing into your strengths. You're playing into where you're adding value. And people are now giving you their money in exchange for the value that you're now adding to their lives. And that should be the focus of business.
One of the things that I love to share and teach about is a bit how like niching as it's taught today is such BS, because a lot of the, you know, wide-brimmed hat ladies, they're taught to, you know, what do I really want to embody? What's my ideal day? And kind of like make something up from their own personal ideas or dreams. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so of course, I want you to enjoy your life. I want you to envision what would feel good for you, but they're not looking at like, what are your actual skills or strength? And they're not looking at what is their demand for? What are people asking you for? So when you mentioned the ikigai of what do you love? What would people pay you for? What does society need? Hello. So if somebody makes up a course about, I don't know, like, you know, vision boards, essential oils, and sailing, I'm like, that's cool. I don't really know anyone who might need that. Has society told you they need that? I don't know. So you have to be like, how am I supporting society? How are they interpreting me? What are the strengths that I have that they're asking me to give? And that's going to go well. You know, it has to be this mix of things, not just, I don't know what their creepy business coach told them to do.
Creepy business coach. there are a lot. So what you just said right now, you also brought up something in my brain. The idea that being Delulu is the Sululu is so flawed.
Oh my God. Please, for anyone who doesn't know what Delulu is the Sululu, please Google it on TikTok, y'all. But
being Delulu is not the Sululu if you don't have a strategy.
It is not.
If you don't have a strategy that is rooted in where you currently are, being Delulu is more harmful than helpful. Because you are constantly chasing this idea of who you could become, and without an actual strategy to help you get there, and or even stay there if you ever experience even a glimpse of what it is you're trying to manifest. I 100% believe in manifestation. There is neuroscience behind why manifestation works. There's a part of our brain called the reticular activation system, the RAS. So think about your brain as a data processor, right? So if you're processing data, we have tons of data points happening around us at all times. If you're constantly thinking about something, your brain assumes that that thing is very important to you.
Mm-hmm.
So it then starts to make sure that it picks up on those data points. And that's basically how manifestation works, right? You think about something often enough, you have feelings about it. It is like, it makes you warm and fuzzy inside. Like a typical example that people use is like getting a red car. If you have been dreaming of getting a red Jeep and you start like looking up prices and all that stuff, suddenly you're driving on the highway and every second car is a red Jeep. Those red Jeeps have been there the whole
time. You're noticing it now. You're
right. Because now your RAS is saying, hey, you have told us that this is important. So, there it goes. That's basically how manifestation works. I am not a fan of people that say things like, oh, just write affirmations and it'll come true. It's not going to come true when you write affirmations.
Mm-hmm.
Not manifestations, affirmations. Affirmations are part of the process, but not the entire process.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if you want to build a business and be a good coach and da da da, and you want to be Delulu about how to go about it, okay, be Delulu with a strategy. Don't just be Delulu and just run out there and be wild.
What I hear you talking about is, yes, get into your manifestation or your spirituality of what is it that I want to create? How am I moving forward? Where am I going? What is my intention? And then get into like, embrace the reality and grounded action. You don't just get to lay in bed and think about it. Like, how are you actually going to take action to make it happen?
Right. And that part forces you to get very real about where you are today.
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to own a private jet one day? No. Environment. Will I ever be in one? Yes. You know what I mean? I have not flown on a private jet, but it's one of my goals. It's going to happen. I don't have to own it. I just know it's going to happen.
Sure.
But I'm not going to create a course on how to get private jets for cheap or for like at a discount. That's not my life.
Oh my God.
That's not my life.
This just in, Dee's course on how to get a private jet is coming out tonight.
On a discount. No.
Yeah.
That is not going to be something that I offer.
Yeah.
But given my experience and everything that I've been through, can I offer a container for like emerging coaches or beginner coaches to create that community I was talking about? 100%. Yeah.
Right.
A quote that I heard on a podcast I watched, honestly, like maybe 2 months ago, this guy was saying, you coach, train, and teach from where you are. And you invest in where you want to go. That for me resonated so much because I see so many people wanting to coach and train to mountaintops they haven't even begun
seriously
to walk towards. And that is not kind or fair or in integrity for you or the people that you're selling your snake oil and promises to.
Yeah. I had a past friend that we had like a huge breakup as friends before I started my account, but we were both coaches and they said that they only coached, I don't know, it was like 7-figure business owners. And I was like, ma'am, you make nothing. I mean, I just don't understand. I mean, there's the believing and envisioning, but it's like, at what point are you literally a liar? This wasn't like to her specifically, but literally asking yourself, what point are you literally a liar? And to talk about what you said of, you said something about, you know, teaching or doing with what you have right now. Okay. So one of the things that, how this relates to me is, yes, I can talk about online business and I can talk about online business strategy. And I've worked for huge names in the industry, but where I feel so freaking comfortable is like social media strategy. And like, that's literally like where I am that I can say, I mean, I've been running my mouth on the internet and on Instagram, and it's been interesting. If you want to run your mouth on the internet and Instagram and have it be interesting too, right? Like I can teach or talk to the place that I really am at that I have solidly done. And so many people are told to like go to this future place that doesn't exist or they haven't gotten to yet, and to try and get people from that place. And it just makes no sense. So
I hear what you're saying and I agree. It's one thing to have a future version of yourself that you're working towards, but understand that you are working towards that. You want to bypass the journey and just jump to the results. But there are so many things to learn in this in-between space to prepare you for where you want to go. We're not saying I'm not going to fly private and maybe one day offer a course on how to get discounts on private jets. I'm not saying. I don't think I will. I don't know. Future me, I don't know. I know she's going to sit in a private jet one day, but whether I'm going to do a course, I don't know. But there are so many things that have to happen for me to get there. And that's okay. But I know that if I continue to show up in spaces, continue to network and just be myself, I'm going to make friends. You know what I mean? But like, we all just have to be very honest about where we are in our lives. It's also this notion of spiritual bypassing in the wellness community that irks the shit out of me. The same is true as well for totally ignoring the things about ourselves, about our lives, about our communities that we don't like, and just jumping to just be happy. No, like, do not weaponize happiness and positivity, because you are weaponizing it. Weapons don't heal. I've never come across a weapon that healed anything. So please be honest with yourself. If you're going to love the best version of you, that's great. But until you love the best version of you and embrace and hold space for the not so great parts of you, you don't fully love yourself. And especially when you're dealing again with wellness and people's well-being, show up in all parts of you. Be okay and comfortable with all parts of you, because if you're not aware of the parts of yourself you don't like, there are going to be things that people do that trigger you and your reaction, harmful and not helpful. But if you're aware of the ickiness and the iffy parts of yourself, if you're aware of your triggers, you're then able to very rationally say, oh, no, 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 this has nothing to do with this conversation. This is just this part of me feeling the little boop, the little button that's been pressed. And that's for me to own. That's for me to heal and not necessarily spewed out on the next person.
Yeah.
And we see that in all types of interactions.
They run away the second there's any negative experience or bad feeling. And just like, that's not how life goes. Dee, I could talk to you forever. As we wrap up for today, I want people to know, how do they possibly work with you, or what are you up to? And then where can they find you? You opened up your DMs, which is very kind.
I opened up my DMs. So you guys, if you have any questions around coaching or whatever, I try to create content on LinkedIn that's more coaching specific. I think most of my clients, because I consult as well as I coach, are on LinkedIn. My Instagram gets like the stuff that I share on LinkedIn, I'll cross share on Instagram. But where I get really conversational is on Threads. I have found Threads to be very helpful with just having conversations with people like myself and others. So that's one way. But my website is www.novaconsulting. Consulting is with an X. And I have a contact form on there, you know, so just hit me up and we can chat. And like I mentioned earlier on, just in conversation, I genuinely understand the need for coaching and for community in the coaching space, mm-hmm. but for coaches that want to coach with integrity and actually show up for their clients. So one of the offers that I'm working on for next quarter, Q3, I'm giving myself until Q3 to roll it out, is creating a coaching container for new and, you know, novice coaches.
Yeah, that's great. It's really nice to have someone who is in the coaching world in integrity and has a lot of experience to pull from, and then who's also really aware of the shady tactics or the BS, or is not afraid to call things out as well. So that's really lovely from you. So keep us posted on what you create.
I will. I definitely will. I think the work that you're doing is so important. So please continue. And I'm glad that your community is growing. And, you know, you're blossoming online and it's amazing. These are things that a lot of times people don't talk about because of shame and guilt sometimes. And I love that you also have that option where people ask you questions anonymously or share their experiences anonymously, but you are a value add in this space. So thank you.
And well, thank you.
I will gladly support any efforts you have going.
Thank you, Dee. That's very, very kind of you. Well, I hope everyone can connect with Dee, Deconstruction on Instagram. Well, thank you so much, Dee, for your time and expertise and sharing. I just think you're such a joy, and I'm looking forward to getting to chat with you more soon, and I'll see you on Threads and Instagram and places more too.
Absolutely. Have a great one, guys.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
That's it for today. You can check out the website for resources, frequently asked questions, more podcast episodes. It's whydon'tyousaysomething.com. We also have a Patreon group you can check out. Thank you so much for even considering supporting. And if you have any questions or feedback for me, you can reach me via email, eva@evacollins.com. Thanks. See you next time.